Let's all go to the lobby. 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 Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Shakedown, the weekly podcast that functions as a grab bag for all things film. I'm your host, Kyle Craigbaum.
And I'm your other host, Jordan Dennis.
This week, we are going to be talking about...
Some indie films, if you will.
Some indie films, just some nice, quiet Indiana Jones films.
Yes, sir!
All five of them, including the newly released...
What do you mean, all four?
All four of them, including... No, five. The new one.
Yeah, the new one.
Dial of Destiny.
That people like, apparently. Whatever.
We'll get there.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that.
But first, we get to tackle your favorite film of all time.
Yes, sir! This might be my favorite film trilogy of all time, if it's not Lord of the Rings.
Before we get into that, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Good!
You been watching anything recently?
Man, I haven't been able to keep up on The Bear. I need to get back to it because we were watching a bunch of movies this week.
I think the only thing I've been like watching besides that is I finished season two of The Bear. Incredible.
Yeah.
Those last, like the back half of that season is some of the best television I've seen like ever. Like that shit is just like so good. Listen, I am the biggest Ted Lasso dick rider in any room, but that show kind of does what the later seasons of Ted Lasso thought it was doing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Like fleshing out the side characters.
In terms of just kind of like balancing out like the drama with more of like the sitcom-y like humor sensibilities. Like I think it balances it really well. That last episode of The Bear was really fucking good. I think my favorite episode was episode six.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Seven's really good. The Richie episode where he does his whole thing. There's a Taylor Swift needle drop in that episode that goes hard as fuck.
Hell yeah.
Season two of The Bear, fuck it. It's like a 4.5 out of 5, might be a 5, I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't really have that many issues with it, like, thinking about it. Like, it's a world I love being in, I love these characters, and I love seeing them grow.
Yeah, there you go. The only other things I watched, we watched Jaws on
July
the 4th of July.
The only acceptable 4th of July movie because it's not military propaganda, but it's kind of propaganda. Chief Brody's the only blue life I respect. He killed that big shark.
Jaws is perfect. It's perfect.
Perfect movie.
It's perfect.
Like,
I think we talked about it on the podcast before.
Can't believe we're about to talk about two perfect Spielberg movies today.
Yeah, we'll get into it. No, Jaws is a 5, but it's
like
the easiest 5 you'll have.
Like the layup of a fucking century. Like, that movie is a masterclass in pacing and tension and blocking. Just everything that Spielberg would, like, become known for, he had, like, right off the bat. The dude had the juice from the get.
He had the juice. The other thing I watched was Insidious, The Red Door.
Did you go see that with
Pamela?
I did see that with my mom,
yes.
Hey, Pam. I know you're listening. How are you doing?
Don't do that.
How have things been?
Don't do that.
Are you good?
We're not going to do that.
Do you need help with like groceries or anything? Just let me know.
So Insidious The Red Door is the fifth Insidious film.
That's ridiculous. I didn't even know there was a fourth one until like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and literally you will get nothing out of this movie if you've never seen an Insidious film because it's so convoluted and weird.
We love that.
It's nonsense. It's got scattered moments of some spooky stuff that I like.
For sure.
It's Patrick Wilson's directorial debut.
How does he do?
Fine. There's a couple scare scenes that I actually really enjoyed.
Do we know if he was always directing this one from the get or if he like replaced someone?
I don't know. I do not know. But The Insidious movies have always been kind of like a jumping pad for directors.
Yeah.
Where like Insidious Chapter 3 was the first film Lee Winnell ever directed.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's probably from the get.
Sure.
And
I don't know if he'd ever directed anything before. So I was just like, it's kind of weird that this was his Insidious 5 is your first.
Right.
You know?
It completely goes off the fucking rails in the last 15 minutes.
We love that.
Whatever.
We're going to talk about a movie later that goes completely off the fucking rails in the last 15 minutes. Goddamn.
Insidious is a 2.5 out of 5.
That's kind of what I was sensing.
Should I even
bother?
No.
Hey, remember when we were going to watch all the Insidious movies and then I said I didn't want to?
Yeah. Yep,
I do. Because it's just like, don't know. It just seems like the most, like, middle-of-the-road 2010s horror franchise. Like, it seems like it does everything The Conjuring does, but, like, slightly worse.
Yeah, it's James Wan, so it is. You want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay. The floor is yours. This is your favorite film of all time. All
right, so the film legend states that one day on a beach, while hiding out from the premiere of Star Wars, George Lucas was hanging out with Steven Spielberg, and they got to talking and powwowing, you know, as pals do. And I don't remember who approached who with the idea. I think it was Spielberg said he had always wanted to direct a James Bond movie.
And that was
kind of the inception of them creating the character of Indiana Jones.
Right.
Which has led to the first film in the series. Classic film. What even needs to be said about Raiders of the Lost Ark that hasn't already been said before? 1981. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford. Steven Spielberg. John Williams. George Lucas. The GOATs. Mm. Kyle. Okay, so, like, the people know my thoughts about this movie. Like, I could just sit here and gush. But, like, from a fresh perspective, what's Raiders for you?
So, I have some nostalgia for the original trilogy of Indiana Jones. I've seen them. My dad showed me them. But Star Wars was the big thing in our house, that trilogy. That was more of what I watched all the time.
Going to see the Indiana Jones stunt show at Disney World is, like, one of my oldest core memories. Sure. Like,
And so going back to this trilogy, I honestly, like, I remembered the big things, but not the connective tissue.
It's the little details that make these movies, like, especially these movies, but honestly, that make, like, all these movies like this, like, going back and watching classics, like, that's just, like, one of those things you notice is those little details.
And I really like Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm not connected to it like you. I don't think it's perfect, but it's good.
You have a take that I respect about which Indiana Jones is your favorite.
I do.
I find that completely respectable.
I do. We'll get to that.
However, this is the best movie ever made.
Okay.
In terms of just, like, I don't know if there's a movie I watch where you can just feel the sparks flying into, like, this movie fills the filmmaker, like, heart of mine, like, with so much joy, because you can just see so much, like, imagination and ingenuity going into every, like, frame and fucking, like, this movie just oozes, like, passion for the medium of film. Like, Steven Spielberg clearly wanted to go all out with this one, and I mean, like, that's just the filmmaking. Like, you get into, like, the characters, like, all the characters in this are so memorable and iconic. I mean, Indiana Jones is, like, maybe the greatest film hero put to screen. Like, he's right up there with, like, Atticus Finch and shit. Like,
okay.
Like, and, I don't know, I'm rambling.
You're fine.
Revolutionary effects work. Looks incredible.
Definitely.
I guess...
This is... Yeah.
I don't know. If you had to critique the film, like, where do your issues lie, I guess?
I guess I'll just tackle good and bad. Because, yes, I agree. This is the best looking of the trilogy. I think in terms of cinematography and lighting and stuff.
One of my favorite shots is, I think it's a transition. It's when they're, spoilers for the first four Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
It's where he's overlooking the dig in Cairo, and it's the sunset behind him with the silhouettes of all the men digging, and Indiana Jones, like, putting the hat on over.
Incredible.
Woo, boy.
And that's the best section of the film.
Yes.
Because for me, while I enjoy the first 30, 45 minutes, I'm more like, yeah, this is enjoyable. Yeah.
No.
It doesn't blow me away.
You're absolutely right. The second act of this movie is where it, like...
Yeah, it's everything from him figuring out the location of the arc with the light beam to the end of the convoy chase. And, and the climax is good, too. But that specific section is just outstanding. Mm-hmm. And the convoy chase is one of the best action scenes of the 80s, no doubt.
You know what my favorite scene in this movie might be, actually?
What?
It's the scene at the end of the second act where he gets off the submarine.
Yeah.
And he's holding the rocket.
Yeah.
To them, and him and Belloc have that exchange about, like, him, like, he threatens to blow up the Ark, and Belloc's like, you're not gonna fucking do it.
It's cool.
Like, that scene, I don't know, something about, like ties it to, like, ties everything together so thematically about, like, their characters and that, like,
yeah,
that dynamic. Like, oh, that scene is so good. That's my favorite scene that's not, like, one of, like, the scenes in this movie. But, I mean, like, you've got, like... I like again, you mentioned Star Wars. I don't know if I could think of another movie that just has so many, like, iconic set pieces, like, back to back to back to back. I mean, you got, like, the boulder in the beginning with him escaping the temple. You got the whole street chase in Cairo with the famous, the guy with the sword.
Yeah.
And he fucking shoots him. Do you know the story behind that?
No.
So when they were shooting, Harrison Ford got sick with dysentery. And they were supposed to be, like, a more extended fight sequence. But for one take, Harrison Ford was just like, fuck it. And then just shot him. And, like, I guess the other actor just rolled with it. And that's the take they went with.
Dude, that's so interesting. Yeah. Because he was also suffering an injury on Temple of Doom. He had, like, a spinal injury that they were filming around.
Harrison Ford is just the man. Yeah. That guy's the man. Maybe this whole trilogy kind of falls apart without him, like, obviously. But, like, I think if anyone else had played Indiana Jones, like, what's his name? Magnum P.I. was supposed to be Indiana Jones. Tom Selleck.
Interesting.
But he couldn't get it because of, like, scheduling conflicts. Like, they specifically didn't cast Harrison Ford at first because George Lucas didn't want to use any actors from Star Wars.
Oh.
And then Harrison Ford got it anyway. And the rest is history.
Marion's okay. I don't love Marion. I like Marion.
Marion's a grower. I was kind of on the same boat with you where I was like, ah, this performance is kind of corny or whatever. Like,
it feels like the most dated performance.
She the more you watch the movie, I think the more charming she gets, and you kind of find more nuance, like, in their chemistry. Like I think her and Harrison Ford are really cute.
I think they have good chemistry for
sure. She's not the most interesting love interest in the series, like, as a character though. But I think she's spunky and I love her.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm your goddamn partner, you know?
Going back to the convoy chase for a minute, one of my favorite stunts in any movie is the whip under the car.
Yeah,
and it's so cool. So fucking cool.
I gotta give a shout out to, what's his name? Hang on. The stunt, keep talking. This, Harrison Ford stuntman.
Oh, Vic Armstrong?
Yeah, that guy. That dude. Maybe the MVP of this whole thing.
Yeah.
If it's not Johnny Boy.
You know what he went on to direct, right?
What?
Left Behind, starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh. I need everyone to know that my reaction was to look past Kyle like a camera on The Office.
Yeah. I didn't know where you were looking.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to revoke his MVP status.
No, it's okay. He's the MVP of these.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the climax is obviously very memorable, if not a little dated.
Which is crazy because, like, you think, like, a movie like this, like, the climax would be, like, a big action set piece, right? No, it's not. It turns into, like, a horror movie for the last, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's the Nazis getting what they deserve and having their faces melted and blown up.
I bet that was so cathartic for Spielberg.
Yeah.
I bet that was cathartic for everyone. Just fucking... They melt the fuck out of those dudes.
Some good gags, too. Very funny jokes.
Yeah.
In the snake pit, the Nazi flag being lowered. Or that's not the snake pit, the other pit.
Yeah.
Fucking Nazi flag.
Being said, huh?
Yeah.
No, the whole character quirk of him being afraid of snakes is such a good setup and payoff.
Yeah.
With where he's in the boat in the beginning and is this pilot or whatever. Why doesn't the pilot stick around?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he hang around?
I don't know.
And then later, obviously, when they go into the tomb and it's thousands of snakes.
Yeah. This is a good movie. I don't know. What else do you have to say about it?
Like, I don't know. I don't know what else, like Cammy said, like this movie, watching this movie is like watching those videos of, like, domino sets, like, falling into place perfectly. Like, everything about this movie fires on all pistons. The performances are all pitch perfect. I want to give a shout out to, fucking what's his name? It's Renee something. The guy, or Renee Belloc, the character. I forget the actor's name.
I'll find it.
Great villain, great antagonist for Indiana Jones.
Paul Freeman.
There he is. I love the little Nazi dude with the glasses. We are not thirsty.
Yeah,
That guy's creepy.
Obviously, John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, dude. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, everything about this movie is so perfect, and it's so Spielberg. It has the magic, and it has the whimsy, and it has the imagination, but it's also just a thrilling fucking movie, front to back. 6 out of 5. I don't know. Fucking, like, this is the movie.
Yeah.
If I ran into someone who had never seen a movie before, ever, this would be the one I start them with.
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. I'm going to give it an 83%.
What the fuck?
I also want to give a shout out to the set piece in front of the plane propeller.
Oh yeah, right, where awesome. A dude gets turned into spaghetti
and,
paste.
And it points out something about the series that's so great about the trilogy, and what lacks about the latest film is the mean streak that it has.
Yeah.
It's very violent.
These movies
and,
are darn
and
gnarly.
Sometimes scary, skeletons falling and fucking...
Well, I mean, the end of this movie, watch those dudes fucking melt and explode.
And Temple
like,
of Doom goes even further into
yeah, Temple
just,
of Doom is raw as fuck.
So, so yeah, let's hop into Temple of Doom, 1984.
The second Indiana Jones movie.
In this one, Indy has some sidekicks. He has a sidekick. He has a short round, little Asian kid, and then he accidentally picks up a girl, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, she kind of gets like entangled. What's her name? Willie,
because of the opening sequence of the movie, he ends up stuck with her.
The worst Indiana Jones love interest. Let's just get that out of the way.
Oh boy, we'll get into her. She tanks some of this movie.
I don't think she's as bad as people say she is. I don't think she's great, but I don't know. Like the last time I watched this, like I was laughing. I thought she was funny.
At times.
Yeah.
It does add to a tonal inconsistent. So about this movie.
Here's the thing about Temple of Doom.
Basically, the film is they crash land in India.
Yes.
And they stumble across a village that is fucking, like, dying. Mm-hmm. It is, like, there's no water.
People are starving. The crops won't
the
grow.
The kids have all been taken. And they think it's because of a sacred stone that was stolen. And they're like, please, you were sent by our gods. Please help us get this stone back and restore the village. And that's basically, yeah. As basically,
so Wendy's like, all right, sure.
Yeah. This movie is kind of a roller coaster for me.
Yeah.
The beginning 10 minutes are awesome.
It's almost like the exact opposite of Raiders.
Yeah. Beginning 10 minutes, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
That opening's crazy.
Cool set piece, great blocking. Violence.
Nice try, Lao Shay. You want to talk about a funny sight gag where he fucking closes the
Dude,
door and it
that,
turns
I,
out.
I laughed out loud at that. I thought it was so funny.
It's crazy.
So the opening, and then it hits a bit of a lull for a while with...
Well, it's kind of just a lot of them walking around India for a little bit.
In, like,
bit.
Slapstick comedy. And then some, maybe, racism.
Yeah!
It's mainly the scene with them eating food.
Well, the idea with that is that... And I don't think it's effectively communicated because it's supposed to be a mystery. But the idea is that everyone's, like, mind-controlled.
Okay.
By
yeah,
the cold. Like,
right.
They're supposed to be, like, weird and, like, fucked with. But, like,
fair.
But, like, again, that's not, like, really well communicated. And I didn't think it... I don't think it needed to be in the 80s. Because I don't think people thought of that back then, like, when this movie came out. But I think that's just an unforeseen...
Fair.
Interpretation as the culture has shifted. You know what I mean? That's always been my rationalization, though. Is that everyone's
that is
supposed
fair.
To be, like, under the influence of the thuggy cult.
Fair. So, yes... That middle portion, not without its moments.
Sure, like it's not boring. It's just it is the worst section
but
of the
it,
film.
But it slacks a little bit and is tonally inconsistent to the rest of it, mm-hmm. specifically the third act. But once they go underground,
yeah,
and
dude.
You hit the cult, the movie fucking takes off.
Like that shit, and, it shit goes hard.
And
man.
I went from being kind of indifferent, like this is okay, to this is the best third act of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, you got the minecart chase. You got
which
like,
is outstanding. I actually stopped right after. I paused the movie right after the minecart cart chase and looked up how they did it.
The Minecraft chase.
The Minecraft. The mine. Oh.
Me when I have an alarm go off.
But
that's when
I
was supposed to wake up.
I had to look up that minecart chase. I was like,
you were like, I gotta know how they did this.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, mix of miniatures and like sometimes they had like dolls in the minecart that were going down like little miniature tracks.
You
or something.
I think you made a point when we were watching Jaws about how good Spielberg is at blocking.
At blocking.
And I think
yeah,
I think the secret to that is you've ever seen him behind the scenes. I don't know if he does like storyboards or shot lists. He like. Will plan his shots with, like, miniatures.
Yeah.
Like, he's playing D&D and shit.
Yeah.
And I think that really is the key to his sense of, like, scale and spatial awareness.
Yeah.
Because he can kind of look at it from, like, a 3D perspective and know how to make these sequences, like, visually appealing. It's like the minecart chase. Like, I think,
right.
You know what I mean?
What elevates him so far above... a director is, he would never stoop so low as something like just a normal shot reverse shot.
No.
He will be shooting a character and then another character appears in the background and in the foreground and he pans the camera.
He compartmentalizes. He's efficient. Like, why get what you can get in two shots, what you can get in one?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has that dog in him.
Yeah, he has that dog in him. And it's so just... I'm about to sneeze. I feel...
Bless you. There we go. Coughing and sneezing and the arms going off.
What is happening?
We're just off the perk here.
It's so nice to see a filmmaker so confident in himself.
Yeah, confidence. That is like... That is a big word with him. Like, he just walks in, big dick swinging.
And it's very interesting to see that he does not like Temple of Doom because of... how dark it is.
That is interesting. My There's brother in Christ, you made the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He says he was going through it at the time, and he just kind of went a little too dark.
Went a little.
I like it.
No, that, like, Indiana Jones is at its best. When we get into a later movie, like, I think,
yeah.
Or I think that's kind of something that's lacking, truth be told, in the next three movies we're going to talk about, is they lack that gnarly quotient, I think.
And while John Williams' score is obviously iconic through all three of these originals, F4, I like the one in Crystal Skull too, but some of my favorite tracks he's ever done are like the cult horror tracks in this one with the chanting.
Oh, dude, that
and the
first
fucking,
scene,
so fucking
that
good.
That first scene where you first see, oh my god, what's the villain's name? It's something.
That's the scene I'm referring
to. The rawest villain of all time where he rips a dude's heart out of his chest. How do you think he did that?
Is that Lao Shea?
No, Lao Shea's the guy in the beginning.
Mularam.
Yeah, Mularam, my dude.
But yeah, no, it's that scene where he rips the guy's heart out and then he's lowered into a pit of hellfire.
I've never seen...
That's crazy,
I don't know if there's
man.
A villain that makes up for their lack of, like, character depth with sheer rawness.
Rawness, yeah.
Like Mularam, you know what I mean?
My one thing with him is I wish he was introduced a bit earlier because it's pretty late in the game.
I think that comes from like dragging out that mystery a little bit. Like,
I know.
What's going on here at the temple? Like,
I think
the Temple of Doom, you know?
Oh! So yes, there are fantastic aspects. The minecart chase and then the bridge scene is fucking fantastic.
Weird that this is a prequel.
It is very strange.
Is there any, like,
reason
for
no,
that?
No,
like,
not really. I don't know.
I guess they didn't want to explain why Karen Allen didn't come back.
Yeah, I guess that's maybe the reason.
Maybe that's, yeah.
Short Round's fun.
Short Round's so fun. Oh, I hesitate to call him the best indie sidekick when you have Sala.
Yeah. They're about equal.
But Short Round is maybe the best child acting performance of all time.
He's up there.
Like
he's
like it's crazy that he's not fucking annoying, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's so fun, so charming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that action in the third. I fucking love the third act of
love
this movie so
much.
Love when
that dude gets steamrolled. He gets the mini boss gets his scarf caught in that friggin' that steamroller, and he gets flattened like a Looney Tune.
Yeah,
that shit's crazy. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, there's so much fun here.
And then you got the climax on the bridge and everything.
Yeah.
Like that scene's so good. That whole set piece.
Oh, it's
is
awesome.
Really cool.
It's awesome. It's so fucking cool. The alligators.
Yeah. No, I think this is a really solid middle chapter. It's weird, but it's all the better for it. I think. And I think, I think I'm going to give Temple of Doom a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
This is like the definition of an 8 out of 10. This is like...
I'm with you. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I gave it a 79% because, for me, the highs are higher than Raiders, but the lows are quite a bit lower.
Yeah, fair.
And it kind of balances out to a slightly worse movie, but still super respectable, super good adventure movie.
I concur.
Yeah. Then you get the finale of the trilogy, you get Last Crusade.
Listen.
1989.
Listen, if you told me that this is the best Indiana Jones movie, I wouldn't fight you on that.
That's what I am telling you.
This is
the best Indiana Jones
movie. This is right up there with Raiders. This is like...
Yeah. I think it's basically even, but this is like just like
it is
the slightest.
This is... this movie's so fucking good.
And the added depth, so this one essentially introduces Indiana's father into the picture, who he is very estranged from, never really treated him all that well. Mm-hmm.
Very neglectful, very like obsessed with his work and all that.
And in this one, the hunt is for the best artifact of the trilogy.
Yes, the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. Which it feels like such a finale thing to do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's so... That's why this... Like, listen, we'll talk about Crystal Skull here, but, like, that's why...
That's why
these sequels are so... are so misguided, is because nothing you go after the Holy Grail is gonna be nearly as compelling as interesting. I'm sorry. Like, that's the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Why do you think when they refer to something as, like, the end-all, be-all, like, jackpot, they refer to it as the Holy Grail of this and such. You know what I mean? Like, this is the thing.
And this one, it has that added relationship with him and his father, mm-hmm. which elevates it because they have great chemistry. It's Sean Connery.
Also a great sidekick.
Yeah, also a great sidekick. This one kind of balances itself back from Temple of Doom into sillier.
I think that is my only issue with this movie, is it gets a little goofy sometimes.
Oh, it does, for sure.
Not nearly as much as some later movies, but
I think Temple of Doom is super silly sometimes.
Yes, for sure.
So.
But like in this one, it's like a little like you can tell they're trying to course correct.
Yeah,
from Temple
for sure.
of Doom.
But some of that comedy is great. Yeah, the rotating bookshelf.
I was gonna say my favorite sequence in this movie might be them escaping the Nazi castle. That shit goes so hard.
It's so funny, and the tank sequence is fucking awesome. Oh. The dog fight is fun.
I love the way this movie reincorporates some of the past characters like Sala and Brody.
Yeah,
we haven't even mentioned Brody.
Yeah,
his little British buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the love interest in this one.
Ilsa.
Yeah, Ilsa.
Nazi.
Let me specify. She's a love interest before she's a Nazi.
Yeah, and then he finds out she's a Nazi, and then stops being a love interest.
But what really, I think, puts this above Raiders for me is I find the climax more satisfying from a character perspective, from the sequence where they find the treasure.
Yes.
And obviously... So, the arc of this movie is... One of the reasons that his dad was so neglectful is because he was so obsessive.
Like, he was trying to find the Grail. Like, he was obsessed over this thing and cared about it way more than his son and raising his child.
And then they go on this quest to find the Grail. They do. And... What?
It's my favorite moment in the whole trilogy. I think I know what you're gonna say. No, it's the moment where they get the Grail, the temple's falling apart, and Indy's like over the side of the cliff and he's reaching for it, and he's like, I can get it, and then Sean Connery looks at him with he tells him to let it go.
Let it go.
And then, that moment brings me to tears every fucking time, man. Like,
yeah,
that shit.
That's what brings it above the rest of it.
They shouldn't have made any more of this, because that ties this whole trilogy together, like, so thematically well. Like, that makes it a complete, a complete story.
Agreed. It's a good movie. I'm not in love with any of these movies to the extent of some others, but I respect them all so much, what Spielberg's able to do, and Lucas, what they're
Real,
able to
yeah.
do.
No, they...
With these films.
They were killing it in the 80s, man.
Man, holy shit they were.
This is a 4 out of 5, or a 4.5 out of 5. I think, this one's really good.
It's teetering on a 4.5. I have it at a 4. I have it in the 84%, literally.
Damn, 3 fours back to back.
Yeah, it's a consistent trilogy.
That's crazy.
And maybe one day Raiders will be better to me than Last Crusade, but who knows?
We'll get you there.
Who knows?
We'll get you there.
This is a great movie. Good trilogy. Just solid-ass trilogy.
Yeah, and then they made another one.
They did, in 2008, long time after. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Now, this is a very hated film.
Yes, very very divisive film, we'll say.
Divisive.
Very maligned. Controversial.
Yeah. And it follows a much older Indy in the 1950s, mm-hmm. this time, as he's, dealing with the Cold War.
Yes, Ruskies.
And
he gets kind of roped into a conspiracy type deal
involving these crystal skulls and Nazis who want to harness the
Russians,
power.
Russians.
Sorry.
I mean, they're basically Nazis.
We're switching
this,
to
like...
Russians. Sorry, we're switching to Russians in this one. So in progression wise, it's very similar to Raiders.
Again, yes.
Where you have the group of bad guys going after the artifact to harness its power, and Indy trying to stop him. You know, nothing wrong with aping a legendary film.
No.
And what I will say about this film, I didn't have many memories of it at all. I like this movie.
This movie is fine. This movie's fine.
I actually really like this movie, and I'll tell you why. The first half is fire.
Yeah, the first half of this goes hard. Goes hard as fuck.
You get the opening action scene in the warehouse where, like, the Ark of the Covenant is. A bunch of fun practical stunt work. Mm-hmm. Spielberg is still shooting the hell out of this movie.
Still has the juice.
He still has the juice. I think Shia LaBeouf is really good in this movie.
Yeah, no,
genuinely.
He's fine. Like people...
People dogged on this performance.
Gave him way too much crap. He's fine. He's good in this. Like, he's
likable.
He's charming. You know, he's doing his whole greaser thing. Harrison Ford
He's committed to this,
pretty
man.
Good in this. Like, he's, like, giving it
his
all.
This isn't, like, a bored sleepwalking.
No, like, he's, like, you can tell he genuinely loves playing this character.
Yeah.
Even some moments in Dial of Destiny, I'm like, at least he looks like he's having fun. Like,
And then when Shia LaBeouf is introduced, you get a really good motorcycle chase through the city. That's a lot of fun. Again, I'm pointing out how good the camera work is, because when the next one comes around, I'm going to have some stuff to say. But, yeah, that first hour of this movie, it's tightly paced. There's, like, the tomb stuff with the weird creepy guys.
Uh-huh.
Some great fucking lines.
You're a teacher? Part-time.
That line is so good. That line is so good.
That might be the rawest kill in the trilogy right before that, too, where he blows the blow dart right back into the dude's mouth.
Yeah, oh, dude, yeah. This still has not as much as the original trilogy, but it still has some grotesqueness.
Yeah,
and some,
it's got that DNA for sure a little bit.
Cause yeah, it's got that DNA.
I think what just like what holds a lot of the sequences in this movie back for me is just like they're shot well. It's just like some of that green screen and some of those digital effects.
It's the back half.
Really rough. Especially in the back half.
It's the back half.
It's just like. I wish... See, because the movie's, like, really good-looking sometimes, and then other times the movie's, like, really hard
to
look at.
Yeah, we can hop into the back half when this stuff... Which I still like, but much less than
the I will tell you, actually,
half.
I think I know the exact scene where this movie starts to lose me. It's the scene where they're kidnapped in the camp, and I think it's the scene where she tries to mind-control him with the crystal skull when he's in the chair.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then everything after that kind of, like, just loses me a bit. I don't think it becomes, like, unwatchable after that. But after that, like, I don't know. The movie, like, seems very eager to end, to get to the end point after that. You know what I mean? Like,
I can see that.
And it kind of just, like, it's like, don't think about some of this stuff. Like, you know, like, don't think about it. Like, it seems like, I don't know. It just seems like it's beelining to the end point after that, all logic out the window, and it's just kind of like,
Well, first we're reintroduced to Marion from
she's
the first
back.
Film, and she's a cute addition, but not entirely necessary.
Didn't make the movie, doesn't ruin it. She's, I think, yeah, they give way too many side characters in this movie. John Hurt, what the fuck is he doing this whole time?
Yeah,
what the fuck is John Hurt doing
not,
here? Kate Blanchett kind of sucks in this.
See, I'm not bothered by her like you are. She's not great.
She's silly. But I also just don't like that character very much.
The character's
much.
Not
like,
great.
She's just,
Right.
Wasted, I think.
On a bland
villain.
Yeah.
And she's doing
kind of like Hela from Thor Ragnarok.
Kind of, yeah. She's trying so hard with that accent.
It's a hard one.
She's giving it her all, but like, ugh.
In the second half, why I don't hate it is still it's got those memorable moments.
Sure.
At least the first half of that car chase is really good.
Yeah. When they're in the jungle with the big
some really great
buzzsaw.
Really great stunts.
Like conceptually, that sound, that sequence is great. You have moments where like the buzzsaw like hits their car head on and should have like mowed that. Like, you know what I mean? Like
there's some bad plot armor in this battle.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's plot armor in, like, the first three films. But it's never... I mean, you got the plane in Temple of Doom where they jump out in the motor or whatever. But at least that's a practical stunt, and I'm watching a real person survive that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, at least that's, like, conceivable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so when you get, this is when the green screen problems start to rear their ugly head, because there's a lot of green screen jungle set stuff.
Spielberg seems a little too giddy to rely on CGI in this movie. Yeah. And I think he was just like, I think, like, at the time, like, it was kind of a pre-Avatar world. Like, obviously there had been CGI in movies before, but it was like, you know, post-Transformers, pre-Avatar, we were kind of like, let's just make everything CGI, right. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the digital age, man. And I think he was just very eager, not as like a crutch, but because he thought it looked good.
Like, see, that shot where Shia LaBeouf and Kate Blanchett are sword fighting between the two cars is awesome, but there's a lot of green screen.
It cuts back and forth sometimes. So there are green screen shots when it's the actors, and it looks terrible. Yeah. But then there are other shots where you can tell it's the stunt people, and it looks like practical. Like, it looks like they're doing the stunt. And I'm like, oh, okay. It just, the visual,
there's some jar.
There's no visual cohesion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that I can pick up the transitions is not good.
I totally forgot to mention the nuking
if we're talking about ridiculous fucking plot armor.
I like that scene. I don't know.
It's a good scene.
It's ridiculous.
The resolution's stupid.
Yeah. But then he looks at the nuke bomb, and
it's raw.
Awesome.
And it's raw as fuck.
So it does. What bothers me is people's criticisms of this movie were in the wrong areas. I feel like they nitpicked the things where I'm like, okay, but I can get over that. And, like, completely ignored some of the ridiculous stuff in the back half of this movie.
Where it turns into a Looney Tunes cartoon?
Yeah, like, where she drives the car off a cliff onto a tree. And
it it springs them back up. Like, fucking, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And then they survive 3 waterfall falls.
This movie does get real fucking goofy.
It gets goofy. Still enjoyable to me, at least to a point. The ant scene's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love watching some. I think that's when this movie,
they're like sentient,
channels it's mean.
Oh, yeah. That way that Russian dies is mean. Love it.
As fuck.
Love it.
Nothing like that in Dial of Destiny. Fuck.
Nothing.
God damn it.
Nothing.
We'll get to it.
And even then, after the ridiculous stuff, you get a fun temple building and a bunch of, like, Native Americans chasing them, which it reminded me a bit of Raiders.
Sure, it's fun. It's just, I don't know, like, you know what it's all heading towards, and it's just, I don't know. It feels like this movie ends, and you're just kind of like, oh.
I have a comment to make about this ending.
You're kind of like, oh.
I have a comment to make. So, the crystal skulls are all alien skulls.
Yeah.
We get that. You have expressed to me your displeasure with the switch to sci-fi in this film.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's because none of the other movies have even, like, dabbled in that whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all the MacGuffins have always been based in, like, mysticism and spirituality and religion and all that. Like,
would you have had a problem with the sci-fi stuff if the extent of it was all, like, the alien-like skeletons in the room, and it didn't turn into a CG skeleton.
I would have way less of a problem with it.
That's where the problem starts. If it had just been all the skulls turning and looking at them, and then they all, like,
beam into her head, it's the
fact that it turns into a CGI alien that.
And I think, again,
scene.
That comes from Spielberg being like, it's the digital age, man, let's throw a CGI alien in there, man!
Which is strange because of how well he handles digital effects in War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
just a couple of years before it. But yeah, that's where my problems start, because I honestly was on board with the sci-fi stuff until that alien.
Like,
all right.
When it's mysterious, it's at least kind of interesting.
Yeah.
When you're kind of like, oh, what's going on here? But the minute it's just an alien, it's like, well, that's like, I don't know, it's like, it'd be like if at the end of Raiders, if Jewish God came out of the Ark and was like, thank you, Indiana Jones, you helped me defeat the Nazis, you know what I mean?
It should have just been the skeletons of the aliens, and then maybe the UFO, if you will, whatever.
Maybe, if you really want to. That is, like, in a vacuum, that is a cool moment where it's, like, spinning up and all the rocks come up and everything.
Yeah.
It'd be great if it wasn't in an Indiana Jones movie, you know what I mean?
I totally understand that. And that's kind of where I lie on Indiana Jones. I also want to get, the ending is very cute with the wedding.
Yes, the actual ending to this movie, I love. I love that. That fake out where Shia LaBeouf puts on the hat and then Indiana, like, he comes and takes it. Like, that, like, ah.
There is such, And that's where I lie on this. This has a ton of problems, but it was a lot more charming than I expected. Even in the parts that aren't good, I was like, I'm having fun.
It right kind of has, like, goofball grandpa energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're watching, like, even in the scenes I don't like, I'm just kind of like, aw. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, it's, you know, it's cute. It's cute or whatever. It feels so, like, we're, so much time has passed now that this is, like, this is, like, charming and, like, antiquated now. I'm like, oh, like, this, like, yeah, no, I agree with you. This movie never becomes, like, unbearable. No. I never wanted to turn it off or anything. No. It just, its worst crime is that it overindulges in itself sometimes and goes a little too far into, like, goofiness. Like, I wish it had just been a little meaner movie, you know?
I saw this opinion, and I agree. I feel like it's comparable to Spider-Man 3 because it's, like, it obviously does not hold a candle to those first movies. But same DNA.
Same DNA. Like, there's a lot more of those old movies in this than you might have given it credit for initially.
Initially.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think this is a 3 out of 5. Mm.
That's fair.
I think, this movie's solid. Yeah. This movie's all right.
I'm going to give it a 3.5. I'm going to give it a 70. That might be a little inflated just because of how much hate I see. And I'm like, I like.
Go to bat for this movie.
I like
Someone's got to do it.
I like this movie. It's good.
And then they didn't make any more Indiana Jones movies, so we don't have to talk about it anymore. Indiana Jones and the Disappointment of Destiny is a 2023 blockbuster directed by James Mangold, starring Harrison Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and Mads Mikkelsen. It follows Indiana Jones on his quest to retrieve the Antikythera, the Greek device that could possibly use to time travel. This movie sucks!
Let's start with spoiler-free. Be nice. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is the most disappointing thing since my son. bring out the red letter media. Yeah, this movie... I didn't like when I walked out, and has only soured on me more as time has gone on.
And the most baffling thing about this movie is how many people I see who have, like, enjoyed it. I'm like, did we watch a completely different movie? Have you ever watched a movie before,
The fact that a lot of people think this is better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Like, crazy. Baffling. You're smoking crack if you think this is better than Crystal Skull.
So yes, this movie is boring.
Long.
Baffling.
Overstuffed.
So long.
Overstuffed.
Overstuffed with things. Does not have an ounce of the filmmaking work of even Kingdom of the Crystal
Skull.
And, like,
and that's the thing. I love James Mangold. I think he's a great director. I just don't think he was the man for this job.
And I think that James Mangold can elevate good material, but there was not the material here.
Like I think...
What was
it? I just think he's too... He's too gritty of a director. I'm not, like, gritty, but just, like, I don't know. Like, I watch Logan, and I'm like, I don't know if this is the guy who can do Indiana Jones. You know what I mean?
And even the moments that have stunt work, most of them are cut between because it doesn't have those long takes of Spielberg. You get so many abrupt cuts to mask stunt work.
It seems like a lot of this movie's problems, like, stem from the fact that it's trying to work around the fact that its leading man is 80 years old.
Yeah.
So a lot of, like, the action sequences are really, like, unengaging and uninvolved, you know what I mean? And like you said, there's a lot of cuts, so it's, like, a lot of weird digital stuff that's implemented.
Oh my god, a lot of visual effects and a lot of green screen that does not look good.
Right, I talked about the rough green screen in Crystal. Leagues better than this.
There's no excuse now. No. That's 2008.
Like,
this
now,
is 2023, and you have no excuse.
The Way of Water just came out. You are a $300 million motion picture.
$300 million fucking dollars!
And you look like that? Look like... Ugh.
So yeah, the whole... I guess that's a spoiler. No, it's not a spoiler. It's in the trailers. There's a DH indie in the first, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it looks okay, but when he, like, moves his head.
I just remember
wrong.
Watching that opening and being like, oh, the vibes are so off.
I know.
Something's off
it's
here.
Trying,
Something's wrong
it's
here.
It's trying to ape the energy of the older films with, like, a big a train scene.
If I can make a topical reference, you know what this movie kind of gives me the same energy of?
Yeah.
Did you watch that Wonka trailer?
Yeah.
You know how Timothy Chalamet is, like, trying so hard to squeeze an ounce of, like, whimsy and fun out of him but can't do it because he's, like, a sick freak pretty boy? That's what watching this movie feels like. It's trying so hard to juice out any of that, like, original magic or fun or energy, that lightning in a bottle that the, that original trilogy had, and it just fails miserably because it's trying so hard.
You have compared this to Rise of Skywalker.
It is like Rise of Skywalker. It's as bloated as Rise of Skywalker. It's as, like, self-congratulatory as Rise of Skywalker.
But it's also much uglier than Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, don't I fucking know it. You know what, actually? I don't know if I'll get crucified for saying this. I think J.J. Abrams would have been a better choice to direct this movie.
Oh, God. I wouldn't crucify you for that. He probably should.
I think J.J. Abrams brings a little bit more of that Spielberg energy.
I mean, yeah, he tries to copy him.
No, for sure. Listen, there are worse directors to ape. Sure. There are worse directors to rip off.
It's just, like, so... And then the new characters... Oh,
either boring or, like, annoying.
So, Phoebe Waller-Bridgers is the big one. She's,
Helena...
She's his, like, goddaughter.
Of a character who... You see him in the opening. It's Toby Jones. There's no reason that character shouldn't be Brody. Like, yeah. It's so weird that it's just a completely different character.
Yeah.
Because it's also an English professor friend of Indiana Jones's.
Yeah.
And so much of this movie's emotional stakes hinge on the connection between Indy and Helena.
Yeah.
That relationship. If she had been Brody's daughter, I think... Like, at least then you have, like, some sort of, like, pre-established context for why they care about each other. But, like, this is, like, a character we've never met before or seen, and they give us no reason to give a shit. Because, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is just, like, kind of annoying, kind of just, like, cracking jokes the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, she's, like, barely even a real character.
And then, yeah, she's barely a real character. I have no problem with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I think she's talented, but this is not the role. This is not... John Rhys Davids come back, but not for anything substantial
at
all.
One scene. Should have been at the end of the last movie. I don't know why he's not at Indy's wedding.
This was
written, why didn't you invite him to the wedding, Indy?
This was written by James Mangold and fucking David Koepp.
Who?
David Koepp, who wrote Spider-Man, Jurassic Park, Mission Impossible.
Huh?
Yeah.
Bro.
And then this guy who did Ford v Ferrari and Edge of Tomorrow. So, like,
I just don't, what went wrong here?
I think everything. I don't know. I think the combination of just misguided. It shouldn't have been made, is what it was.
Yeah, this.
But you can just tell that this is the Disney era of blockbusters where everything is shot on the volume and everything is bloated and too long.
Do you know
and just stuff.
Do you know what's funny, though? We say about the script, if you had taken this exact same script, not changed a thing, and just had Spielberg direct it, I think this movie would have at least been a 3. I think this movie would have been palatable.
Would have been better.
Because he, again, if we're talking about elevating material, I think just, like, that energy he brings, like, this movie is just, like, slogging along to the finish line, and none of the set pieces are all that memorable.
Yeah.
Like, they're all just, like, generic as fuck, like...
No, there's, like, fun moments within them, but, like, nothing, like...
Nothing that sticks with you, no.
It has the modern blockbuster problem of being underlit severely.
Yep, it's so dark,
really
it's ugly.
Dark.
It's an ugly-looking movie.
I'll get my few positives out of the way. I still think Harrison Ford is trying.
He seems very committed.
I still think he is. He's committed.
That.
I still think he's committed to the character.
I'm glad he's having fun.
Yeah.
Everything with Indiana Jones himself is fine in this movie.
It's fine. And while the...
I just wish in this movie more than all the other ones, and again, I know he's 80 or whatever.
Yeah.
His character takes, like, the most passive role in this movie where he's not really the one propelling the plot forward. It's mostly Helena and Mads Mikkelsen's character, the villain. And I just think that just leaves, like, a bad taste in my mouth because it's like, I don't know. I especially, giving credit to Crystal Skull, like, that first half, like, he's, like, figuring shit out, solving the mystery.
Yes.
Like, he's, like, into it. Like, but in this one, he's just like, he'd rather be anywhere else than doing this shit right now.
So, yes, my positives are Harrison Ford. While the vibe is off for the first 20 minutes, at least it's, like, an okay action scene. It's, like, fun enough. The first 20 minutes are alright.
The concept is
and, like... also, something I can get into in spoilers, but Mad Mikkelsen's villain plan is very funny.
When you find out what he's trying to do with the MacGuffin, I laughed out. Like genuinely. Like, not ironically. Like, it is a genuinely funny joke, like, when you find out.
Yeah, it's crazy. But everything else is just so by the numbers and bland and boring. It's just baffling ordeal. And I don't understand. Like, a good on you if you like the movie, if you've got something out of
it. Sure, like, if you enjoyed this.
But
like,
that's not me,
like, man. This isn't... I don't know. It's just... as an Indiana Jones fan, I just... I found, yeah, this left a lot to be desired. 2 out of 5.
Yeah. I gave it a 2 out of 5. I gave it a 43, I think, which might have ticked down a couple points since then, but whatever.
Got a cool 40.
Yeah, right. It's just a big, stinky turd.
Dial of Brestiny, more like.
Whoa.
Whoa. So they time travel at the end.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, I don't think is getting nearly enough shit. I think it's just as stupid as the aliens at the end of Crystal Skull.
It is.
Because... the thing about Indiana Jones, especially those first three, is it's always been more about, like, the implicitness of, like, magic and stuff like that. But when they just do it, you know what I mean? Like it's, like, there's subtlety to it. Like, obviously, like, I know a bunch of ghosts come out and melt Nazis, but, like, it's just, like, this one, like, quick sequence in the first movie. And then, like, with the Holy Grail, you have, like, it heals, like, his wound and, like, it kills, what's his name? Donovan. But, like, you only see, like, brief glimpses of, like, whatever the MacGuffin's, like, power is. You know what I mean? Like, you're never just shown it outright.
I'll tell you why this is worse than Crystal Skulls.
I agree, but in terms of stupidity, like, I don't know why it's not getting just as much shit.
I don't know why either, because while Crystal Skulls is dumb, at least Crystal Skulls is in, like, a temple and with artifacts. This one is just like, hey, let's go through a fucking rift in the sky and time travel.
I think this movie leans too heavily on, like, the military aspects of the first couple Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
Like, it really takes that... like, I know Indiana Jones fights Nazis, and that's great. We love him fighting Nazis, but it really makes that, like... like, that's, like, all Indiana Jones does in this. You know what I mean? Like...
so the villain's plan is to use this dial to go back in
time... the dial of destiny, if you will.
To go back in time to 1939 and kill Hitler and become Führer himself.
He wants these...
because he thinks Hitler...
He can do a better job.
Yeah. That's funny.
I was like, that's interesting.
But
that's a good
what
time.
Ends up happening is they go through the wrong rift and end up in BC times.
They find out the dial... is only designed to take you to one point in time. It's like a one-way trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when they think they're getting out in, like, Sicily 1930 or whatever, they actually end up in fucking, like, ancient Rome.
Like Archimedes' time.
Yeah.
Who made the dial, Archimedes.
Which is
and,
like...
and they go during... and they come out during a big fucking battle between a bunch of Roman ships.
Terrible. Terrible looking.
A lot of CG, a lot of green screen. It looks awkward. It's a fun idea on paper. Maybe not for Indiana Jones, but it's a fun idea on paper.
I was thinking about it. You know what this movie honestly could have used more of?
What?
The time travel.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it comes so out of nowhere towards the end, like, I know obviously it's, like, building up to it or whatever, but, like, you don't think they're actually going to do it, and then they do, and it's dumb. Like, I think the concept for this movie... honestly, like, I think if they had kind of implemented that more, like, have Indiana Jones, like, go to different points in history, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of be like a historical Forrest Gump type. Like, I think it would have been, like, I don't know if it would have been any less stupid, but at least it would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, he goes to a point in history that Indiana Jones has, like, never had any affinity for.
I know.
When has Indy ever mentioned ancient Greece?
And
ever.
He wants to stay there.
Like, when has he ever done that? Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's so many actors in this that are just wasted. Antonio Banderas is in this for like two seconds. And then dies.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Boyd Holbrook is wasted in this.
There's a girl who's like an agent that's working with the Nazis. Yeah. And they like set her up as a character and then she's just killed
Their
off.
Their whole dynamic, like what like Mads Mikkelsen was doing, like...
yeah.
What was his relationship with the U.S. government?
I don't know. And, like, on paper, some of these set pieces, you're like, they should be cool. Him riding a horse down a big parade.
Yeah,
and through the subway. It's all right, but it just looks awkward.
Terrible.
Yeah. And, like, the concepts on paper where it's, like, he's celebrating his retirement, but everyone else is celebrating man landing
like
on the moon.
Landing?
Great
like,
idea on paper.
It's just nothing's given, like, the ceremony or like the attention it deserves. Like this movie just kind of
puts
like,
its focus on the wrong spot.
It kind of just like shuffles its feet along until it stops. You know what I mean? Like it just it doesn't have that magic. You know what I mean? It doesn't, and it just again, I hate to be a dick rider. It's just you're not going to be able to replicate that Spielberg magic, man.
You're not.
It's just
you're not.
Why do you think every Jaws sequel sucks?
I know.
Like,
I know.
It's just, you're not going to be able to do it without him.
I know.
I think I saw, I don't remember who I saw make this point, but Star Wars without Lucas is a lot easier to replicate than Indiana Jones without Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because Star Wars in itself, like, obviously George Lucas only directed, like, four of the movies, but, like, such, like a charming, like, interesting world that's, like, lends itself to like expansion and other interpretations.
Right.
Indiana Jones is Spielberg.
Yeah.
Like that comes from his like soul and his heart.
Yeah.
And when you try to like, when you just try to like paste together a cheap imitation, that's what you're gonna get is a cheap imitation.
Yeah. Like I don't see a big difference between this and like the Uncharted movie.
I think I'd rather watch the Uncharted movie.
I hated the Uncharted movie, but they well, it's shorter.
I was like, it's a lot shorter.
But, like, yeah, I just don't see a difference. This, again, like you said, it feels like a knockoff of Indiana.
Yeah, like, it feels like a fucking parody. And it's just like, I don't know, maybe we'll get a sixth one.
Marion shows up in the last five.
Oh, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, it's cute. Whatever. Yeah. At that point, I was just done. I wanted to go home.
I wanted to leave. It was, like, 12 at night. I wanted to leave.
Oh, that's it. That's all that's I have to say. Yeah, Two out of five.
Disappointing end to a series that started so good.
Yeah. Good series. Is that it?
I think that's it. I think that's all I got to say about fucking Indiana
Jones. Okay, so, our podcast is going to be changing just a little
bit. Just a little transition, if you will.
We are going to be switching to...
Like a loose bi-weekly schedule
bi-weekly.
Kind of idea. We're very busy, you know what I mean? And we want to get the content out to you in a, in a palatable and efficient sense. So
we're just calling it bi-weekly.
So I think we're going bi-weekly, bigger episodes. I think that's the idea.
That's the idea. So we can, get more movies out, both weeks of movies, whatever. This next week is going to be a big in, because we're going to be talking about, all the Mission Impossible movies, and also, is that also Oppenheimer and Barbie, or is that the week after that?
We'll see!
But yeah, we're going to be talking...
God, that'd be a crazy fucking episode.
Yeah, it might be, but we're going to be talking a lot, so that's the plan moving forward.
Stay tuned, gang!
Yeah. If you like the podcast, you can follow it on Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Shakedown, and you can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd at Kyle Craigbaum. That's K-R-I-E-G-H-B-A-U-M.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at J_Dennis99 and on Letterboxd at my name, Jordan Dennis. Until next time, gang, thanks for stopping by.
Goodbye.